Hello and welcome to On the Line, the Texarkana Gazette's twice monthly interview podcast. I'm your host, Carl Richter. In the land of opportunity, opportunity isn't equally available to everyone. That's the problem Communities Unlimited was founded to address. Dawn Parker recently began work for the nonprofit, whose goal is to solve problems and open new possibilities for residents of rural areas. She and I talked about how Communities Unlimited operates, her role in the organization, and what you can do to help. A programming note, this is the last episode of On the Line Season 2. I'll be taking a little break for the rest of the summer and re-presenting some of our most popular episodes. We'll be back with new interviews on September 8th. In the meantime, I'll be taking a look at what we can do to make the show better. And you can help. If you haven't yet taken our survey, please follow the link in the show notes and let us know what you think of On the Line. It will only take a few minutes of your time. The survey includes an open comment section that lets you say anything you'd like to. I value your opinions and really hope you'll choose to participate. Now, here's my conversation with Dawn Parker. Joining me in the studio is Dawn Parker with Communities Unlimited. Hi, Dawn.
Hi. I like the studio. It's my first time seeing it, and it's very well insulated.
Yeah. We really tried hard to sort of keep the sounds of the newsroom out of here. So.
And I like the fact that you guys remembered where your plugins are, because I've done that before and accidentally soundproofed over the plugins, and then you got to pull stuff off the wall right. To go, where is it? I can't find it.
Yeah, we've got a pretty good setup here. So
it is. It's very nice. I like the Rodecaster too.
Yeah, that's our soundboard, which tell people, and it makes things really easy.
It does, and it's very well lit up.
Yeah, it's sort of Star Trek-y.
It is.
Can imagine
we're going that. Across the universe,
right? So, tell me, what is Communities Unlimited?
That is a very difficult question to answer, because we do a lot more than I realized when they hired me on in April, and only in the last couple of months have I been able to touch on a few of the things, because we do everything from lending. I mean, we are a CDFI. We do entrepreneurship. We've got a team that works with new businesses. I'm on the community sustainability team, as well as my coworker, Deanna O'Malley. Mm-hmm. And she works in this area and outside of this area with little towns here and there. We basically have grant funds that she takes then, and they pick out so many. They work with USDA on different places around the area. We're in 7 states, though. So my community sustainability team actually has 13 people on it. Mm-hmm. And those 13 people might handle environmental. We've got a guy who's working on a healthy foods program in Amarillo, Texas right now. Mm. I don't know how to touch on everything that they do. I just know that if we can't figure it out, then there's a good chance we're going to start a team to figure it out.
Right. And the whole idea is to provide opportunity in rural areas and other places where
Correct.
It might be difficult otherwise, where there's a high minority population,
Correct.
High poverty rate, food insecurity, so forth. So,
see, right. You could explain this better than me. I should just let you explain it, because that makes more sense. Yeah. No, that's the truth, because for so long, grant money was basically sent to cities, is the easiest way to explain it. Mm-hmm. So cities were looked at like, well, this is where the most people are. We should focus on those areas, not thinking that outside of those cities were the people who were bringing in the food to those cities, the people who were, you know, the working force of those cities. And they were sort of not paying attention to those areas. The rural areas were sort of just glanced over.
Right.
The flyover states and everything else was basically, we're not worried about those people. They can do it themselves. The TLL Temple Foundation is who is actually funding my position. And my position has never existed before April. In fact, there's three of us now. There's me here, and then there's two in Deep East Texas. We're fixing to hire two more in South Texas around that area and Port Arthur. And the whole purpose of that is to also embed people who work in the rural areas and live in the rural areas, because the second aspect of the problem, besides the funding issue, was that we were then having somebody come in from DC or wherever.
Right.
They look at it, they go, oh, this will fix it. Here, let me throw some money at that problem. And then they left.
Yeah.
So now they're embedding those people. This was the Temple Foundation's idea. They're like, look, let's start with East Texas and see how this works. So for the next 5 years, this grant that I'm working on right now will actually give me a chance to go to different communities in the area and to say, what can we do to help you?
Mm-hmm.
What do you need the most? So that's what we're going to be working on.
Great. So what is exactly your position?
Community resource specialist.
Okay. And where are you planning to work here locally?
I actually take care of Bowie, Miller, and Cass counties.
Okay.
It's a big area.
Yeah, that is a big area.
It's a big area. But the good part of it is they're working with people. I mean, I've only lived here 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But as a former journalist, you know, a former news person, former radio person, I've spent those 7 years getting to know people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the job. So that was one of the reasons they reached out to me last year in October, and said, what would you think about doing this? And I said, is this a real job? You're going to pay me to go and talk to people and find out what they want and how to help them. Like, that's a real job. And I talked to my husband about it, and I talked to Deanna about it, and her husband thought the same thing I did. And my husband to this day thinks, what do you do again? I still don't understand what you do. Because it's a wild idea.
Yeah.
To put somebody in place to basically help people.
Right. How do you get funding? Do you get grant money?
It is grant. It's all grant money towards, I told you mine is from the TLL Temple Foundation here in East Texas. So we also have grant funds from USDA and other resources. And the program right now in Amarillo is being funded through a foundation similar to TLL Temple, but in that part of Texas. So the money is there, but the problem is it's not ever been focused on rural communities.
Yeah. I'm thinking about community development block grants, for example. That's a real common federal funding that usually goes to cities.
But what we are focusing on is making sure that it goes outside of the city as well. We don't want to take it from the city. You don't want to take one to do the other.
Yeah.
That's not going to fix things. But there's lots of funding that goes by the wayside because there's nobody there to help businesses or foundations or nonprofits in the area to then write those grants and get that grant money. So that's another thing we're working on.
So a bigger pie, not just a bigger piece of the pie. Gotcha.
Exactly. So I guess the easiest way to say it is, based on what the problem is, we look at what the solution could be, and then we partner the two together.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to be able to do everything ourselves. Like right now we're working on broadband because rural America has sort of fallen by the wayside when it comes to broadband.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can see your face right now. I know what you're thinking. I mean, where I live is 10 miles outside of Texarkana, and I got knocked off the internet yesterday because somebody else in the house was trying to do something at the same time as me.
Oh, boy.
That hasn't happened to me since I was a kid and you had to get off the phone.
Right.
You know, because somebody needed the internet. So we're still at that stage in a lot of areas, especially in the South and when it comes to rural areas. So the Arkansas Broadband Department has worked with us for the last month, we've been doing listening stops. We're going to be having one of these in Texarkana. We've got one coming up in Hot Springs. We've got a couple more coming up in Northwest Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to be doing those listenings, those listening stops to see exactly what people need when it comes to broadband, or if they have broadband, mm-hmm. are they using it? Is it too expensive? What do they think can be done to improve it? We're asking the community that.
Right.
Not the community leaders. We want to know what the people actually think. And then we're going to take that information back to the Arkansas Broadband Office and say, this is what we found. Mm-hmm. This is where all of the money needs to be, you know, sent towards.
Yeah. It seems like common sense, you know, just to talk to the people who are affected, but I guess.
Right. But I guess, exactly.
Common sense ain't that common.
Right.
In the short time you've been doing this, have you identified any other sort of goals or needs that are out there?
There are a lot of needs. In fact, we're going to be putting our office in the bottom of the Landmark building right here, mm-hmm. next door to you. And we're waiting on tables to be shipped in, because you know how long it takes for things to get shipped these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as soon as we're up and running, there's already a few foundations that have come forward and said they want to learn more about grant writing. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a few of those classes lined up. We're also working with the Homeless Coalition. I'm also now on the board for Health Corps East Texas, working on some federal funding that they're wanting to work on new clinics that are going to be more readily available in the area. I mean, there's so much that needs to be done. And I didn't think I would be as busy three months in as I am.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by all that I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show what the need is out there, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So I wish I could tell you everything that we're doing. I can't let everything out that we're working on. There are a few projects that we're working on as far as like Atlanta, mm-hmm. and Linden and that area that have already started up and running. But I know that if someone has something that they need and they want to help with the solution, mm-hmm. then I'm looking for both sides of the equation, the people who are willing to help with the solutions and the people who need a solution.
Right. So you mentioned that you'll be moving into this building. Mm-hmm. So is this the first presence of Communities Unlimited in Texarkana?
It is. It's the first public. Deanna's been here for a year working with Communities Unlimited, mm-hmm. but she is actually a community sustainability manager, so she works in the 4-state area.
Okay.
She works Oklahoma. In fact, one of the projects she just finished in Oklahoma was something that we just started doing, mm-hmm. with graveyards.
Interesting.
I know. So we do, when I say everything, we do wastewater mapping. We do rate surveys for cities who are thinking about moving some of their water, you know, around to different areas and what they need to do to fix water problems in the city.
Yeah.
We do mapping as far as we have GSI teams that can come in and map cemeteries. For example, there was a cemetery that needed to be moved, but they weren't exactly sure where everybody was buried. The GSI teams actually went in, mapped the cemetery. So that's something that we've had a lot of cities say, wait, we didn't know you could do that. Hang on, let's work on that.
Yeah.
So we've got a whole list of cities now that have found out we're doing that and are interested in having it done.
Hey, everyone. I want you to know how proud I am to welcome Hostetler Roofing as a sponsorship partner. I had the pleasure to meet with some of Hostetler's staff, and I could tell they really mean it when they say they're all about honesty, integrity, and accountability. They get it that contractors don't have the best reputation, and they want to change people's minds about that by setting an example. Everything Hostetler Roofing does is about taking care of customers. Whether it's a commercial or residential job, maintenance, repair, or a whole new roof. That's why they offer 5- and 10-year workmanship warranties on everything they do. Hostetler has a huge variety of roofing styles and materials available, and they're happy to help you with options to pay for their work, from affordable financing to applying for government grants. It all starts with a free inspection. Just call and ask, and before you know it, you'll get the best advice out there about your roof. Visit HostetlerRoofing.com or call 870-557-4797 to get started. And please mention you heard about them here. One area that you guys work in is entrepreneurship and business opportunities. There's a lot of focus on that here in town. How does that play out in more rural areas? I guess broadband plays a big role there.
It does, but when you think entrepreneurship, we're not just talking about cities. We're talking about businesses, period. Like, you want to focus on more local businesses.
Right.
Everybody is putting more focus on local business. And that is important for a lot of communities. We got to, you know, we got to the Walmart phase and sort of stopped.
Yeah.
We didn't go back to mom and pop and start blending. So we're working on that. We call it strategic blending. We're working on that strategic blending idea where it's not just the Walmart and the Amazon. It's also the mom and pop. You want those local businesses. You want the traditions to remain in the community, the businesses that have been there forever. But you sometimes get to the point where mom and dad are retiring and there's nobody there to pick up the reins for the next generation.
Yeah.
So they shut down.
That's a real common story. So
right.
It's like people move away and to a bigger city.
And now we're wanting it to be the other way around. We're wanting it to be the other way as far as they don't move away. In fact, we find somebody who can then take the reins, or we reach out to the next generation to help them and give them what they need. There are a lot of new businesses that wouldn't exist if they didn't have a good business plan.
Right.
So we help with that as well, making sure you've got a good business plan, making sure you've got it all mapped out, making sure you've got somebody there to answer the questions. And that's what our entrepreneurship team will do for new businesses.
Environment is another area you guys focus on.
Are you using my cheat sheet?
No. I just read your website before we started.
The environment stuff is like I was talking about as far as the broad, you know, the wastewater mapping, broadband, making sure that wastewater treatment facilities are maintaining what they need to do. And we actually work with RCAP. It's the Rural Community Assistance Partnership. And between them and us, if there's not somebody who can handle a problem that a city is having, then we can reach out to our other partners in that partnership and say, look, we've got this going on in this city. They really need somebody to come look at it and help them with it. What do you think?
Great. So what kind of environmental concerns do you have? Like you mentioned wastewater.
It can be as simple as, do you remember Kingsland?
No, I'm sorry.
Arkansas. Remember somebody shot Johnny Cash in the...
Oh, right. Yeah, the water tower.
Kingsland has now been added to our list.
Okay.
So we helped out with that whole situation. We're going to be helping them in the next year. They are going to be one of our communities in the next year that Deanna, in fact, is going to be working with. And the mayor of Kingsland, super excited. We're going to be doing all kinds of things from a rate survey to looking at new business opportunities, everything that we can do to basically put Kingsland on the map as a place that people want to go see, not just because Johnny Cash.
Right.
But because it's an awesome place to visit if you've never stopped in or anything.
I'll have to go.
You should. And take a picture of the water tower.
Food security is another area.
It is.
I assume you've got some kind of partnership going with
We do with USDA. In fact, I do have her on my list of people over at Harvest.
Yeah.
Camille is awesome to work with no matter what she's doing and is always, she's a great brain to pick for solutions. She is really good. But when it comes to that USDA, we have a program. In fact, that's what we're working on in Amarillo right now in a few communities. In fact, one of those communities just got hit by a tornado last week, and they're having to start all over again. It's just,
oh my goodness,
the storms have been crazy. And it's a farm to table type program for schools.
Yeah.
So that's what they're working on. We're working on several programs in Mississippi, Alabama, that area as well, that are USDA funded. Mm-hmm. And again, food insecurity is on that list of big problems, the big, big problems that we really need to work on, because it affects our children especially.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so if we want the next generation to be better than the last generation, we have to work on food insecurity.
What else do you want people to know, and how can they help?
How can they help? Well, if you've got an idea, and I know lots of people have ideas, mm-hmm. but if you got an idea of how it's going to make your area better, mm-hmm. I want to know about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I love ideas, because it can be, I can't tell you about it, but it can be something like, let's use this for an example. What is something that you specifically, mm-hmm. as a resident here in the area, think right off the top of your head would be a great thing?
A public swimming pool.
Swimming pool.
I'm saying that because, in part, because it's going to be blazing hot today.
That's true. A public swimming pool. We've had other people say, I don't have a skating rink for my kids anymore.
Right.
The whole nostalgia of having the skating rink that you were growing up with. Mm-hmm. Things like that. And we forget about things. We forget that when we were kids, we had things to entertain us and to keep us busy.
Right.
You know, our parents, we're both Gen X. Our parents would have dropped us off at the movies, and then we would have had to call them collect and have them come pick us up. And, you know, that sort of thing. But we had designations. And that's something we're working on in a few communities. Kids don't have designation anymore. Mm. They don't have spots that they can go hang out, be kids. It's, you know, taking care of, there's adults in case something happens, that sort of thing. To give them that ability. Now everybody's online. Nobody talks anymore. And if you don't have good internet, you don't have that either.
Right.
So you're basically listless. And if you're a parent, you know there's a good chance your listless child could get in trouble.
Right.
So we want to focus on that, too. So we're doing that in a few communities. And it's funny that you said public pool, because that's actually been on my list, too.
Well, for a while. Maybe this will get something started.
So if somebody out there wants to talk about, that's an example. I mean, if you see an idea and you think, man, that would be great for my area, then we want to know about it. It may not happen right away. It may be filtered into a plan that we work on, you know, a couple of years down the road.
Yeah.
But if enough people come forward and say, you know what, I really wish we had A, B, or C, then we know that's an important thing to the community. And that's what we want to start working on.
Excellent. So you need ideas? Do you need volunteers?
Ideas? Not so much volunteers yet. Okay. We do have a few things that we've asked for volunteers. We had the poverty simulator not too long ago. We do the reentry simulator.
Right. For that.
For people that are being released.
From prison. Mm-hmm.
And basically give you an idea of how hard it is for them to come back into society and do all the things that need to be done. And the last one we had was in April. It was a great success.
Yeah.
A lot of people came in, they said, we didn't realize it was this difficult to do all the things that you need to do.
Yeah.
To get back on your feet again and to, you know, to be a member of society again. So we're going to be doing that. In fact, the program that we built, we're actually going to be bringing to other communities so other people have that idea as well.
Right.
So different simulators we're doing. I'm going to be working on a couple of projects the Homeless Coalition brought forward last week that are going to be taking place in September. So we're going to be talking about those soon. I mean, follow us on social media. Okay. Go to our website. And if you're looking for me on social media, it's super easy, just Dawn Parker. And
you have a Facebook page?
We have a Facebook page. Communities Unlimited has a Facebook page. Okay. We also have a Twitter. I mean, we've got pretty much everything. So.
I'll link to it all in the show notes so people can find that easily.
That would be awesome. Yeah, so if you're looking for us online, you can find us. If you want to call me, you can call me. It's 479-684-8537.
Okay.
And if you've got a nonprofit in the area that needs some assistance, if you've got a foundation in the area that wants to help out, if you've, you just got a question. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I do now.
And you mentioned a couple of positions open, not around here, but.
We do have some job openings, and those are on our website as well. We're looking for a couple people to help out with the broadband, because we're not just going to be Arkansas soon. We're also looking at Texas and possibly Colorado, Mississippi, Alabama. We've got a couple of positions in South Texas. I mean, every day I am amazed by this company. Yeah. So we meet every Friday. This is what blows me away. We all meet online every Friday, right? Mm-hmm. Every single Friday, we all jump online. We share stories. Nobody talks over anybody else.
Yeah.
We have a continuous chat line going. The CEO is with us. She's talking about stuff. We're all talking about stuff. We go over each of the big stories for the week. So we're all keeping in contact with each other. Mm-hmm. And I know that if I needed to, I could pick the phone up at any point and ask any of them for assistance and they would be there.
That's awesome.
It's an amazing company that I've never heard of before.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I hadn't either until, you know, I right. bumped into you one day. And you're saying company, it is a nonprofit.
It is a nonprofit. Yeah. We are a nonprofit. And that's the amazing thing too, is this nonprofit is helping other nonprofits and helping other communities do what they can to get on their feet and start, you know, getting better.
Yeah. Well, it sounds really exciting and interesting and complex.
It doesn't sound real if you listen to it, but it is.
I love these stories about people sort of joining forces and really trying to solve problems.
And that's kind of how it started in the beginning.
Yeah.
The CEO that we have now, she was actually on a GSI board of a company, Northwest Arkansas. She is the one that started the entrepreneurship program. But she had her own company that she was with. And one of the guys that ran the GSI was on her board for her company. And they got together and they said, you know what, we should combine forces.
Right.
Because he was thinking of retiring. And she said, no, we shouldn't do that.
You're not allowed.
No, well, she said, no, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't just combine forces
yeah.
because that fails. She right. said, we should be an all new company with all new ideas. Not just two companies coming together trying to wrestle it out and that sort of thing, because it doesn't work.
Right.
So
you need an overarching sort of vision.
Right. And that's what the two of them did. They put that together. And that's been going on now, you know, for 3-4 decades.
Oh, wow.
So it's an amazing program that started with just that little GSI and entrepreneurship program. And now we've escalated into, you name it, we're working on it.
Yeah.
We're working on housing in Pine Bluff in that area with a company out of Texas. So resources should not be limited to anybody.
Yeah.
Everyone should have the same chance.
Well, that sounds like a good note to end on. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us about it. And good luck. It sounds like you're...
Oh, I'm going to hit you up soon. Just wait. Just wait.
Well, hopefully we can help.
You're on my resource list.
All right.
Just wait. Well, thank you, Carl.
Sure. Thanks, Don. I'll talk to you later. On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. Follow On the Line on Twitter at OTLTXK and on our website, TexarkanaGazette.com/podcast. To support the show, post a positive review wherever you get your podcasts. The show is written, produced, and edited by yours truly, Carl Richter, and I'd love to hear from you. Email me at krichter@texarkanagazette.com. I'll see you next time on The Line.